Spirit Radio Podcasts.
For over three decades, our next guest has served the Christian community through his entrepreneurial spirit, working with international non-profits, authoring books, and he's also a respected commentator and has written opinion editorials for leading secular and Catholic publications. In studio now to speak to us about his work and the upcoming Springtime of Faith Foundation's Rome Summit 2019, we have Thomas V. Wykes, President and founder of the Springtime of Faith Foundation. You're very welcome to the show, Thomas. How are you?
Oh, I'm just so thrilled to be here.
Great. So, Thomas, you focused on the signs of spring. Where does the actual imagery of the springtime signs, where does that come from?
You know, when I travel around the world, I talk to a lot of Christians who are a bit gloomy. Mm. And kind of a barbarians are at the gates mentality.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, you're right.
I just felt that it was really critically important for us to start to talk about things that are going right and well.
Absolutely.
Stop giving the devil so much due.
Foothold. Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right.
And start to talk about what's working and where is it working and what's going on. And if every Christian had 12 things always on their lips as to what's going right and well, we would see some different results.
You know, from a psychological perspective, apart from anything else, wouldn't that be a fantastic thing?
It would be.
Absolutely. And you know, it was really interesting you say that, because I remember Pope John Paul talking about the great new springtime, and as you of course know, and I remember people going, seriously? Is he serious?
Well, you know, it was grounded in something really substantial. There were more people martyred for the Christian faith in the 20th century than any other century.
I was amazed at that statistic.
And he felt it was blood seeds sown into the soil.
Yeah.
So not so much because we're all wonderful and doing everything that we're supposed to do, but as a gift from heaven for the sacrifice that was made by others. We're going to see this great period of spiritual renewal, moral restoration, greater ecumenical collaboration, a new springtime of faith. And, you know, John Paul used to say quite often, we are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song.
Amen.
Billy Graham said, I've read the end of the book, and it's going to turn out all right.
Amen to that. And you know what? You're absolutely right. It's like... I love the way you say holding 10 or 12 things in your mind that are going well. That is like, from a purely psychological point of view, as I said earlier on, it's really good. But spiritually speaking, what it does is it kind of builds a kind of gratefulness or something in us, you know, does a gratitude inside of us, and then suddenly our perspective is changing. Now, what I love is that you've already figured out some things, and that there your 10 signs of spring. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I'm one of the things that we like to hit home a lot. I think you know, we don't recognize how full of toxins we are from the culture. And I'm talking about, as Christians, even what we're reading from Christian commentators. And, you know, I often look at things are going bad or things are going good as weather reports. It's keeping score. It's birdcage material. But it's what it isn't is the gospel.
Right.
And so I often say, you know, we are the messengers. We're not, we don't surrender the message to the commentators out there. In fact, I tell people, you know, you really want to be an effective evangelizer, turn it all off. The commentators in the news media cannot lead you. We as Christians are called to lead them.
Yeah.
They're the blind. We're the sighted.
That's really, it's like, in a way, what you're describing is like we're swimming in dirty water. And you get impacted by that if you don't.
You know, if you watch that every day, you're going to think that, you know, certain economic issues or the political issues of the day are the agenda.
Yeah.
And I often say, you know, if you were to look at the 20th century and you were to get a commentator to say, you know, they would point to some very important things. They would point to sporting events of the 20th century. They would point to the Berlin Wall falling. They would point to the fall of communism. They point to a lot of different things. But I always said, my goodness, if angels were commentators, looking down upon Earth, and they and we were able to listen into their radio show, would they really talk about those last those things over the last 100 years? Maybe they would talk about more martyrs in the last 100 years than yeah. any time in the history of Christendom. Maybe they would talk about the biggest explosion of the Bible yeah. in the last 100 years. Maybe they would talk about how in the last 50 years we have seen more progress toward Christian unity than in the previous 450 years.
Amen.
Maybe they would talk about this extraordinary time where we had Bill Bright and Billy Graham and four popes who are become saints. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was St. John the 23rd, Pope John the 23rd, who said, ignore the prophets of doom and gloom, right? He told us that. You know, John Paul talked about a new springtime in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I looked back and found that popes back to 1958 had started Pius the 12th, mm-hmm. said in 1958, you are in the springtime of history.
Yeah. So it's funny you mentioned that. I was reading something from whenever John the 23rd, was it 1958? I can't remember when he came in. But they said, and everyone was very worried, and, you know, they didn't know how it was going to be and who was coming in. And he did the thing where he came out on the balcony and he smiled and he said, I saw the smile and knew we were going to be fine. And I remember thinking, actually, didn't something similar happen with when Cardinal Bergoglio comes out as Pope Francis? And he goes, Santa, big smile. And everyone goes, is there something that they're carrying in the message that just impacts our
hearts?
You
know, it's so amazing to me that we say, where'd the fire go? Where'd the passion go? And I often say, you know, Billy Graham was prostrate every day yeah. praying to the Holy Spirit. Pope John Paul II, from the time he was 11 years old, praying to the Holy Spirit. And I talk to Christian leaders, and I meet with Christian leaders all the time, and they're like, Thomas, what vitamins are you taking? You know, I want some of those vitamins.
Give me your vitamins,
and I was
Thomas.
Like, Holy Spirit, vitamins. I pray for the gifts every day. You know, I pray for counsel and fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord. Why don't we pray for the gifts? Why don't we demand of ourselves that we be docile on a daily basis and beg for the gifts, and we'd find something different comes out.
Yeah, I love that actually expression, docile to the Holy Spirit, the idea that we are just kind of moving with the Holy Spirit, so that actually, you know, instead of resisting and pushing back all the time, we're kind of flowing with it.
You know, at a certain point, I think it's not so much that you go wake up and have a, well, we have this tomato juice in the States, we'd say a V8 moment, where I got a V8 moment.
Yeah, yeah.
That you realize he's got you.
Yeah. Exactly. Beautiful. And I love, you know, even in your thing you're talking about, look, there are more Christian movies at the box office. Abortion rates in the United States and Canada are at a 30-year low. And okay, we have our own story over here, and we're in shock about that.
But can still, we do that a minute?
Please,
can we
please,
talk
please
about
do.
Over
yeah.
here?
Yeah, please
because
do.
I was like, oh my goodness, do they realize what they're missing? I mean, one of the things that I just couldn't believe after, you know, the disappointment of the abortion, you know, referendum and vote and so forth, but I read 95% of the doctors refused to do them.
Yeah.
95%.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the seed of equal or greater benefit.
Yeah.
That's a movement that can be built on of conscientious objection across the board.
I agree with you. And I there's something real about the people who are at the coalface that are saying, we don't want to do this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because in a way, when people are talking about abortion as an idea, you know,
right.
as an idea, you can kind of talk about it in kind of up there, and it's a little bit, you know, esoteric. But when the person who actually has to do the thing goes, no, I don't want to do it, that's when it gets real. So I kind of always feel like the people who are in at the coalface speak back into the culture from the coalface and go, do you know what this is like? Do you know what's going on here? I think something that impacts people in a different way. Now, it may take a while,
because yes.
there's a lot of ideology out there at the moment.
Yes.
But there's got to be trickle down, you know?
Oh, and I, you know, I think we can point to that and we say, wow, that's a moment of victory. That's where things begin to be turned around. I mean, you know, it's one thing to go to the ballot box and vote the right way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, obviously, in Ireland did. But for those doctors to say, we will not do it. Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
What a great moment of victory.
Absolutely. You know, it's great chatting to you, because actually the reality is sometimes, as I say, it's the swimming in dirty water and all those things that kind of get us. I have to review the papers every morning, and honestly, I sit down and get on my face every morning before I do it, because what happens is when these headlines are screaming at you, it's so hard not to let them set the agenda. You know, it's so hard to not let them go, this is the important thing. This is what you should be worrying about. And in a way, what the Holy Spirit does is he pulls you outside of it a bit and goes, no, this is what's real. This is what's true. Whatever is good and high and true and perfect. Sorry, go on.
So, you know, I suggest to people all the time, you know, if you were to look in the mirror every day and say, you're fat, you're a loser. You're an idiot.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, you're not going to
wouldn't take you long
to feel too bad about yourself, right? Exactly. You're going to feel bad about yourself, and you know, and say, well, Christians have a bit of an inferiority complex, but you know, we take in the BBC, we take in CNN, we take in these media sources, we go to the Christian blogs and the Christian sites.
They're almost more depressed than we are.
Let's be honest about that for a moment. Part of what drives their fundraising is saying there's a problem and we're here to fix it.
Yeah.
And so they want to create a sense of urgency about the crisis.
A little bit of panic,
And yet, I say, wow, what if we opened the Word every morning? What if we prayed to the Holy Spirit every morning? What if we spent our entire day putting good things in, like the Chronicles of Narnia and other good books? What if we had 10 points of historical facts about Christendom so that we always have an institutional memory?
Yeah.
What if we had the signs of spring on our lips? I don't care how people say CNN or the BBC, how powerful they think they are. You are the most powerful person in your spouse's life. You are the greatest influencer to your realm of friends. Have a barbecue and tell them about the signs of spring that are going on, and say, hey, why don't you turn CNN off? Why don't you turn the BBC off? Why don't you come over here every week where we'll have a barbecue and I'll tell you 12 new things that are going right.
Yeah, fantastic. And, you know, I hear in and through what you're saying, you know, when you mention Pope John Paul, and when you talk about Pope Francis, and you talk about Billy Graham, and you talk about all these other people, is we're not praying enough. We need to get on our face a little bit more
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up Billy Graham, because, yeah, you know, I remember there was a reading a story about there was one preacher who went to him and said, Billy, I'm more handsome than you, and I put more people in stadiums than you do,
yeah,
and I have better numbers than you do. Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
What is it about you? And he said, I don't know what to tell you other than the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, and that's just, you know, every time I talk to a leader and they say, hey, you know, things quite aren't clicking, things aren't quite going the way they should, I don't know why I'm not connecting as well, I always go, well, you're coasting on your talents. You know, you're coasting on your abilities.
Yeah.
What about the Holy Spirit? You know, how often do you seek him? See, there's a difference between saying, oh, that's a cute idea, Thomas, and I'll say a prayer to the Holy Spirit once in a while. And there's a difference between that mentality and saying, I can't breathe without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I can't breathe without him.
Amen. Listen, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you. Thomas V. Wykes, president and founder of Springtime of Faith Foundation. I better let you go before we all explode in here. Thanks a million, and God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.